Welcome to Investor Talk Radio, hosted by Kurt Davis. During the show, Kurt will share tips and strategies as well as guest interviews on how you can become a successful real estate investor. Kurt Davis was a former chef for 11 years until one day had the opportunity to take a leap of faith, left cooking, and became a full-time real estate investor. Kurt has been building his personal portfolio of rental property and at the same time has helped over 500 investors around the globe purchase cash-flowing rental properties. He is a licensed realtor who has achieved multi-million dollar club status, and he is also very active in the local real estate investment club. And now, here is your host, Kurt Davis.
Welcome to another edition of Investor Talk Radio. I'm your host, Kurt Davis, and today we're going to be talking about home inspections, and we have Asher Murray of Murray Home Inspections with us today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kurt. Thanks for having me this morning.
Now, listen, I know you've got a busy day. I know you've got some home inspections going on, so we'll try to keep this interview here relatively short, but before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I grew up here in Memphis. Born and raised. I am married. I have a 2-year-old son. And
that's about it?
That's about it.
Fantastic. Well, listen, getting into home inspections here, how long have you actually been a home inspector?
I've been a home inspector for 4 years now.
How did you get started in that, or what made you decide to become a home inspector? What was it?
I've been involved in construction for about 8 or 10 years now, about since I graduated from college. And I just kind of wanted to get out of the construction industry, but I have always enjoyed being involved in that type of work. So I was looking for a change about 4 years ago, and a family friend does home inspections. So I gave him a call, and he asked me if I wanted to go on some ride-alongs with him and kind of see if it was something I'd be interested in. And he ended up taking me under his wing, and I did all my training with him, along with the other training we have to do. And so that's kind of how I got into it.
So you had a good experience and a good mentor.
Great mentor.
Now, and it's kind of funny because, you know, one of the questions, you know, the next couple of questions you've kind of touched on a little bit, but, you know, I want to get into them a little more. You know, what type of schooling or specific training, if any, do you need to become an inspector? You know, some people think that you can just become one real easy, or maybe you don't need a license. Is there any type of certification or special training that you need?
Yeah, definitely. There are some states that don't require you to have any kind of special training, but Tennessee and Mississippi are not one of those states, and those are the ones that I'm licensed in. there's an American Home Inspection training course that I took, and there's a bunch of different ones like that that you can take, but that's the one that I did, and that's the one that was recommended to me by the home inspector that mentored me. So it's about a 6-week at-home course, and you read books and watch DVDs and go through all that, and then you take a 3-day course where you have an old or a retired home inspector that kind of comes in and trains you for the weekend, and then you have a test that you take at the end of that weekend, and if you pass that, then you can go on to take the state exam. And so I took the state exam shortly after I passed the American Home Inspection training course, and I actually apprenticed with this guy for about 8 months before I ever started doing any of my own. So I had about 80 inspections under my belt that were supervised before I did any on my own.
Sure. Now, you mentioned earlier that you do have some construction background. Do you feel that that helped you while you were learning how to become a home inspector? Do you feel that gave you any type of edge or advantage?
Oh, tremendously. You can't imagine how much it helped to have that experience going into it, especially with the classes and the training, because you know, probably half the sections that you go over was stuff that I was already familiar with. So,
sure. And you know, how many people do you know of, would you say, who are home inspectors who do not have any type of, you know, construction background?
The only two other inspectors I know in town, and they're both very experienced inspectors, had some construction experience before they started. So I would say most inspectors have some kind of grasp on the construction industry before they get into it.
Now, you've been doing home inspections for 4 years, and Memphis, as you probably know, is one of the top markets for real estate investors.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of activity going on here. There's a lot of foreign investors as well as a tremendous amount of out-of-state investors buying rental property here from several companies. And, you know, a question I have for you is, what would you say, for you personally, would you say the ratio difference is retail home inspections you do as opposed to investor home inspections?
For me right now, I'd say it's 50-50.
That's a good mix.
Yeah, I do. I do a lot. I work with you guys, and there's probably three or four other companies in town similar to yours that I work with. And I work for them specifically, and then also if they, you know, need me to represent a client that they're selling to, I'm happy to do that.
Now, for a lot of people who are really kind of unfamiliar with the home inspection process, I know that every inspector probably has their own little way of how they want to do an inspection and things like that. Can you just kind of give us a brief overview of what maybe a normal inspection looks like, kind of from the time you pull up to the house and maybe some of the little ritualistic things that you do?
The first thing I do is I get out of my truck and I take a picture of the front of the home for the front cover of the report, and that's kind of my starting point for my pictures. If I have more than one inspection that day, that's where, you know, the front picture or the front of the home picture is where I know my stopping point is. But I'll go inside the house and kind of familiarize myself with where everything is, and then I start on the outside, go around the exterior looking for any kind of rotten wood, damaged windows, caulk. There's a number of things we're looking at on the outside of the house, any kind of structural cracks, anything significant like that. And then I check the roof. If I can't get on the roof, I will put a ladder at each side of the home at a couple different spots and make sure I can see everything, looking for, you know, damaged shingles, missing shingles, and just the overall status of the roof. If there's a crawl space, that's the next thing I'll do. I'll go inside, turn everything on, all the plumbing fixtures, and get under the house and check for leaking pipes. If the ductwork is running to there, I'm looking at that to make sure that it's properly insulated and everything's hooked up right. I'm checking piers when I'm under there and any signs of anything that could be wrong with the structure from the underneath side of the house. And then I go in and we're checking all the major components. I'm going to check the electrical panel to make sure that everything's wired properly there and to make sure that the system's up to date and it's not, you know, breakers that are known to be dangerous or anything like that. Then I usually start or go to the kitchen and check all the appliances in the kitchen, make sure that everything's working properly, nothing's leaking. That type of thing. And as I'm going through the house, I'm checking windows, outlets, looking at walls and ceilings for cracks or any signs of any kind of structural issues. I'm looking for moisture damage. And then after we get through the inside of the house, I'll go to the attic, and that's usually where you find the furnace and the water heater. You know, it depends on the house, but when I do the water heater and furnace and air conditioner, I'll give you the model, make, and serial number so that you have that information if you ever need it. And in the serial number is the date of the manufacturer. And so, you know, that's all information that you want to have. And then while I'm in the attic, I'm also looking for proper ventilation, insulation, all that good stuff.
Sounds very thorough.
It is very thorough, and it's hard for me to give you a full overview,
sure,
of what I do because there is so much involved in it.
I know that this next question, it's kind of a loaded question, but it probably varies based on how large the home is and things like that. But let's just say on a 1,500 to 2,000 square foot home, standard home, how long, what's the time frame for an average inspection?
It averages about an hour per 1,000 square feet. So if it's a 2,000 square foot house on a slab, I'm probably going to be there around 2 hours. And that does vary on the condition of the house. If I'm finding, if there's a ton of things wrong with the house, you know, it could take me longer.
Sure. Now, I know that when you're doing home inspections for buyers who are actually going to be the homeowner, you know, they're typically going to be there mm-hmm. with you. But what about investors who are out of state who hire you for their service? How do you handle those scenarios? I'm sure you do the inspection report and you email that to them, but right. do they want to get on a call with you and go over the report and ask you more detailed questions about maybe some of the things that you marked up in the report?
It really depends on the buyer. Some buyers just get the report, say thanks, and send me a check, and I don't hear from them again. And then other buyers are more more worried or more interested in what I found, and they will call and we'll chat about the report or email back and forth, and that usually just depends on what was found. You know, if there's something major that I found, then you know they're usually more concerned. And if everything came back pretty clean and there was, you know, 10 pretty standard items, some rotten wood, a missing shingle here or there, then usually it's not a big deal.
And then I'm sure that for these inspections, you usually go back out and do a follow-up report based on what the buyer and seller negotiate to be repaired, correct, usually?
Not usually.
No.
I do offer a re-inspection, but that's not something. I might do a re-inspection on maybe 5% of the properties I inspect.
Wow.
And that, too, depends on what was found. You know, if there's a whole bunch of items on the list, and a lot of them were major items, then it makes more sense for me to go back out and check to make sure that these things were taken care of.
Now, you know, this is kind of another out there question, but what happens if an inspector were to say, you know, miss something during the inspection? Could anything come back on an inspector for missing something? You kind of get where I'm going?
Sure. Yeah, it can definitely come back on you. It depends on the situation and what was missed. If it's a major item, there's a major structural issue that was fairly obvious and it was never noted, then that's definitely something that could come back on you. And inspectors are required to carry error and omissions insurance for that. And, you know, of course, we hope to never use it, but...
And I bring that question up just because I remember a situation where when my wife and I bought our first home, in the master bathroom upstairs, we had a jacuzzi tub. And, you know, everything on the home inspection report was good. They fixed all the minor things that happened. So after living in the home for, say, 4 or 5 months, you know, we actually used the jacuzzi tub for the first time. And I remember when I got in, you know, filled the tub up all the way. And as soon as I hit that button to turn on the jets, my wife came running upstairs and told me to turn it off because it was raining downstairs in our living room.
Right.
So I would think that, you know, maybe this is a scenario where he turned the water on.
But didn't test the jets.
But didn't bring the water level high enough up to submerge the jets so that you could turn them on.
Right.
Because I would think that if that happened when he checked, he would have noticed. So, you know, just things like that that, you know, some people don't think about. You know, you turn the water on and everything's great. Maybe he hit the button while it was going and heard that it was working but didn't.
Yeah. Now, that's something you always want to fill a jacuzzi tub up above the jets and test all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, that's something definitely that could come back on you, and probably in that situation that's something that should have been caught.
Now, from an investor standpoint, you know that at least here in Memphis, a lot of these homes are 20, 30, 40 years old on average that you see a lot of companies that are selling. When you get into a situation where, say, the home is less than 10 years old, even new builds with new construction, do you still think people should get home inspections even on newer homes or homes that are, say, less than 10 years old? And if so, why?
I definitely would. Personally, as an inspector, I guess I'm probably a little bit biased, but I've bought some real estate myself, and I would not personally buy a home of any age without a home inspection. And the reason being is you don't know who's lived in that house for the past 10 years. You don't know if they thought they were an electrician, and maybe they're not, and they've done some stuff to the home that's made it to where it's not safe anymore. A lot of times on homes that are less than 10 years old, the things that I'm going to find are just normal wear and tear stuff, a leak here, there under a sink, or some missing shingles that have blown off, or a little bit of damaged wood. But there have been times where I've found stuff where Joe Blow Handyman has got in there and done some work and he didn't know what he was doing. And so even on new houses, I've found it's usually not shoddy work, but just maybe somebody was in a hurry on Friday and they were trying to get home and they didn't put some flashing where they needed to put it, or they didn't tighten some drain lines that that should have been tightened. And even on new houses, I'll find stuff. So
absolutely. Now, what can a person, and again, I know that this is kind of based on each and every individual home inspector, how they want to handle what they charge, but, you know, for you specifically, what are some of the fees that you charge for a home inspection, and does the price go up based on square footage of the home, or are there any other factors that would differentiate the price?
Yeah, there's quite a few different factors that come into play. My base price is $225, and that covers you up to 2,200 square feet on a slab foundation. If there is a crawl space, then that adds $75. So if the home has a crawl space, my minimum for that home is $300. And then it goes up based on the square footage. If you have a 3,000 square foot home on a slab, it's $300. 4,000 square foot, it's $400. And then if any of those have a slab, it adds $75. If the house is an older house here in the Midtown area in Memphis, there's a lot of houses that are 80, 90, 100 years old, some even older than that. I'll usually add about $50 for a home that's 80 to 100 years old because I'm going to be there a whole lot longer looking at all these.
And a lot of times those homes potentially have basements in the old Midtown area.
Sure, there's basements and definitely crawl spaces. And then if it's a long way away from where I live, 20 miles, 25 miles or more, then I'll usually charge at least a $25 trip fee just to kind of cover some of the gas.
Well, you've given us a lot of great information regarding home inspections here in a short amount of time. Is there anything that we missed that you've thought of while we've been doing this interview that you think that would be important for people to know about what you do or why specifically maybe they should get a home inspection?
It's always important to get a home inspection because you want to know exactly what you're getting when you're buying a property, especially if you're an out-of-state investor and you're not going to see the property firsthand. You definitely need an inspection, and you need an inspector that you can trust that is going to be your eyes here in Memphis. And that's something that I always try to do for the investors that work with me. I appreciate their business, and it's just good peace of mind. Even if the inspection report comes back clean, you know, and there's only maybe 8 or 10 items, you know, you just know that, you know, you can be comfortable with the deal.
Do you find that when you have a home inspection, and let's just say because you've been doing it for quite some time now, you know, things that would be considered minor, do you ever see homeowners or even investors for that fact, do you ever see any of them that maybe freak out over things that are relatively nothing, but maybe just because of how they appear in the home inspection, they think that it's more serious than it should be?
Sure, sure. You know, that's another thing. It just depends on the person. Some people don't freak out when they should, and some people, you know, freak out when there's not a whole lot, you know, to be upset about. You just really have to take it in stride and read the report carefully and know that, you know, damaged and rotten wood, unless it's the entire house that needs to be redone, is shouldn't be a deal breaker. You know, you're going to have damaged rotten wood on a 10 or 12 year old house or older. And
that's a good question. Regarding deal breaker, what are some things that you have seen from reports that you have done while doing home inspections that have been deal breakers for some people?
There's been all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's been actual deal breakers that should have been where, let's say it's a 25, 30-year-old home that the roof's never been replaced and the HVAC system's never been replaced.
That's like almost $10,000 worth of repairs right there.
For sure, for sure. And that stuff, you know, that can definitely be a deal breaker, you know, and then somebody might come back and say, well, the furnace is still working, so why should we replace it? Well, I'm not asking you to replace it, but I'm asking you, if it's still working, I'm asking you to get it serviced by an HVAC tech. They can get in there and let you know that this thing's still safe, because you can have a cracked heat exchanger on, you know, an old furnace, and that's something, you know, that can be extremely dangerous to the people living in the
sure.
home.
Now, say you do a home inspection, and the report's pretty bad. Home's in pretty rough condition. Mm-hmm. Can you legally or ethically, can you make comments to the person who hired you for the home inspection to say things like, I don't think you should buy this because? Can you tell them what to do, or can you only put together the report and it's up to them to make their own decision?
Right. I'm only supposed to give you the information, and then you're supposed to take it from there and figure out, you know, whether you should buy the home or not. And when I give you the information, I'm going to recommend the people that I want to come look at the house. If there's a problem with the HVAC system, I'm going to recommend an HVAC guy. If there's electrical issues, I'm going to recommend a licensed electrician. So that'll kind of give you the next step that you need to go to. All right, the inspector didn't like this. He wants to see these people come and give us their professional opinion.
Hire the professionals, basically.
Right.
And we do see those a lot in inspections.
Right.
Well, listen, it's been a really great interview. Give us a plug for your business. How can we find you on the web?
My website is www.murrayhomeinspection.net.
What if they want to reach you by email?
Asher, Asher.Murray, Murray@yahoo.com.
And how can they reach you by phone?
901-619-2405.
Well, listen, we really appreciate your time. It's been a lot of great information that I'm sure everybody out there will enjoy listening to.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that wraps it up for another edition of Investor Talk Radio. I am your host, Kurt Davis. Until next time, see you then.
This show was produced by Kurt Davis and KurtDavisOnline.com. All rights reserved. To reach Kurt Davis, you can find him on the web at www.KurtDavisOnline.com or email him at Kurt@KurtDavisOnline.com. Everything you heard on this show should not be taken as personal or professional advice. You should conduct your own due diligence. Opinions or comments of our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of Kurt Davis or KurtDavisOnline.com.